The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have the servants recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. A few weeks ago, I was walking into Mercy Hospital to visit a patient in the new wing of the hospital. This new building has a beautiful entryway with large plate glass that is at an angle to the sidewalk. As I walked up to the building along the sidewalk, I noticed the reflection of a man ahead of me who had hunched shoulders. I thought to myself, wow, that poor guy has really bad posture. As I turned to enter the building and saw my own reflection in the door, I was shocked. That man was me. I recall my mom telling me many years ago while I was in the seminary, "Son, straighten your back when you walk. You walk with a slight hunch." Of course, I ignored her, like all stubborn sons do. And then last week on the radio, the commentator said, "Walking with your shoulders back makes you look taller and skinnier." So mom was right. That is, God often has to sneak into our lives and into our hearts, sort of through the back door. Not only to tell us to straighten our shoulders, but to straighten up our lives. In the gospel today, Jesus uses a very surprising metaphor to describe how he will enter our lives, namely as a thief in the night. Ostensibly, Jesus is talking about the end of time, the parousia, when our Lord will return in glory, riding on the clouds, flanked by an army of angels. But long before he comes in glory, Jesus will return like a thief in the night. In other words, Jesus not only invades our lives at the end of time, but he does that all the time. Even while walking into Mercy Hospital, where I found mercy both on the outside as well as on the inside. C.S. Lewis explained why Jesus has to use this sort of sneak attack approach to enter our lives, saying, "Enemy occupied territory. That is what this world is. Christianity," he went on, "is the story of how the rightful king has landed, you might say, landed in disguise as one of us, and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage." The only slight correction I would make to Lewis is that enemy-occupied territory is really our hearts. Why? Because our hearts are the hardest land for Christ to conquer. Let me share a few other ways our Lord constantly invades our hearts like a thief in the night. We will have around 35 people entering the OCIA class this fall. If you don't know, OCIA are classes for those wanting to become Catholic, because they're not already. Each person's faith story is unique, but there is a common thread, namely, how Jesus has invaded their hearts, often disguised in ways that they did not expect. Jesus has not only stolen into their hearts, he has stolen their hearts. And now they hunger and thirst for the only true food that satisfies, namely the Eucharist, Jesus' Sacred Heart. He steals our hearts and then offers us his heart in exchange. And we definitely get the better end of the deal. Another surprising and surreptitious way Jesus invades our hearts like a thief is through our own family, our parents, and our siblings, and our children. But our ears are often closed to the wisdom that Jesus teaches us through their mouths. Like my mom told me to straighten my shoulders. Mark Twain put it humorously, saying, "When I was 17 years old, I couldn't believe how stupid my father was. By the time I turned 22, I was amazed how much he had learned in 4 years. Of course, it was the young Twain who had learned so much and matured. In other words, Jesus subtly stole into his heart and gave him his own Sacred Heart, true wisdom, in exchange. A third way Jesus sneaks into our hearts is that we usually fail to notice is through the sacraments and through the scriptures proclaimed here. A couple of weeks ago, I played tennis with Adam Nash, who's a junior at Northside High School. He beat me because he didn't know you're always supposed to let the priest win when you play tennis. But between games, he asked me, "Why do so many Catholic youth go to non-denominational churches instead of come to Mass?" What a thought-provoking question by a young man. I answered sarcastically, "Maybe it's the cup holders in the pews they have for their chai lattes." But then I asked him why he thought that was the case. He replied thoughtfully, "Well, teens are very active, and they love to be engaged in community service projects and even mission trips." He went on, "They love to do things with their hands and work together." Adam was exactly right. We Catholics need to take a page from the Protestant playbook on youth ministry. Nonetheless, we should not forget how Jesus sneaks into our lives through the sacraments and the scriptures, going unnoticed quite often. My friends, baptism, confirmation, confession, Matthew, Mark, and Luke may not sound super fun or have much sex appeal, but those are the means that our Lord has used for 2,000 years to invade our hearts and transform sinners into saints. And those tried and true tools will be invariably what he uses until he returns in glory. Today, ask yourself, what ways is Jesus trying to sneak into my heart in order to steal my heart and substitute his Sacred Heart for mine? Are there lessons my parents or siblings or my children try to teach me that was really Jesus speaking through them? Could Jesus want to touch and transform my heart with a little splash of water, a smudge of oil, a bit of bread, a sip of wine? And next time You walk into Mercy Hospital, look at your reflection on that tall plate glass. Apparently, if you pull your shoulders back, you look taller and skinnier. Praised be Jesus Christ.